Jack, are you ready for our next item? Request for public hearing for the blue crab regulations.
Good afternoon, members of the commission and new members of the commission. I have one handout.
Mr. Robb.
It's for Mr. Ty Farrington.
And I'm Rob O'Reilly, Deputy Chief of Fisheries Management since 1993, so I have a few miles on me, and it's nice to see the new members. Ty Farrington has a handout. He's with the Crab Management Advisory Committee, and a little later on, I'll go over some of the points that he has, but I think the idea to present you with this now in advance of the public hearing next month is so that you can get a flavor of some of the thoughts from the Crab Management Advisory Committee, which does advise the commission just as staff does. I'd also point out for Mr. Sessoms and Mr. Palmer that typically Fisheries Management Division has a month where a discussion item will be held and in most cases requests for public hearing. A lot of times these discussion items are very straightforward, and they'll just be requests for a public hearing to change a season, a size limit, something that can be done easily at the following month. But the idea is the commission members will then have the background information a month in advance. Certain other issues are more complicated, and blue crab is certainly one of them. And so today, even though this is a request for public hearing, staff will present you with background and next month even more details that may occur from now until then. But I think it's very important, since this is a complex issue involving many different users, the public resource, all the comments that have come into us in the past about blue crab, that you at least get an idea today of some of the events that maybe you haven't been apprised of previously.
Rob,
so there are six.
Yeah, can you cut the air conditioner down a little bit? It's getting a little bit warm. Didn't want to get that done, Rob, before you get into the meat of the matter. Didn't mean to.
Oh, that's quite all right.
Thank you, sir.
Quite all right. There are six items being requested for public hearing. The first is the proposed closure of the winter dredge fishery. This would be the proposal for the fourth consecutive season. The winter dredge fishery has been closed since April of 2008. So the last time there was a winter dredge season, which lasts from December of the year preceding through March of the year following, was in fact March 31, 2008. The second request for a public hearing involves the disposition of waiting list individuals. And I'll be going through that in just a little bit. But what it means is that part of the Bay's challenge in 2008 was to figure out the best method to reduce the harvest of female crabs by 34%. And that was done by all Bay jurisdictions, Potomac River Fisheries Commission, Maryland Department of Natural Resources, and the Virginia Marine Resources Commission. And in that plan, at the same time, it was designed that individuals who had not harvested any crabs at all for a four-year period from 2004 to 2007, that they would be placed on a waiting list. And they'd be placed on this waiting list until such time that the abundance of blue crab for what's known as age 1+, which are pre-spawning crabs, it's a size that is greater than 2.4 inches or larger, which means those crabs will spawn the spring or summer following the Bay-wide winter dredge survey. It's going to be a lot of information that's conducted by VIMS and the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. If that level reached 200 million crabs or more of the interim target, right now there is a regulation that says that those individuals would be eligible for a crabbing license again based on the commission's plan for for reentry of those individuals. What you're going to see today is that there's also a new mathematical stock assessment that's been done. The ways that we will manage in the future will be more conservative, and all of that will have a bearing on the information that you have at your public hearing next month. In addition, up front, I'd like to mention that since 2008 and that 34% reduction in harvest of female crabs, the commission has held a steady course on that management plan. There has been a few gives and takes, a few adjustments, but essentially what the commission has tried to do up to this point is maintain a conservational neutral plan to 2008. So the first two items are really the ones that are going to be the most controversial. The third item, reinstatement of the blue crab sanctuary coordinates, this is merely a situation where a little more than a year ago, law enforcement initially and then habitat management discovered that some of the coordinates that were marking certain parts of the blue crab sanctuary, which covers 928 square miles in the bay alone, that they were not exactly on target. And so for that reason, the coordinates that mark the sanctuary, things such as buoys, lighthouses, were removed, and now after habitat management as well as the Virginia Institute of Marine Sciences have addressed all those problems, next month we'll be asking to amend the regulation to allow those coordinates to be placed back with the sanctuary markers. The third item is really a carryover from last fall. Initially, the commission allowed North Carolina and Virginia identifications on crab pots. This caused a few problems for Marylanders who do fish in Virginia and also fish in Maryland, crab in Maryland. And the request is going to be to allow the Maryland identification to also be on pots that are in Virginia. And I know the director of the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Tom O'Connell, has talked to Jack Travelstead about this. And this was something that occurred well in the fall last year, so that's why it's being brought forward now. The last two items, revised requirements of crab culling and proposed new requirements for tending peeler pots and crab pots, are offshoots from what the commissioner has formed in-house, which is a regulatory review committee. The regulatory review committee is comprised of individuals from the habitat management, also from law enforcement and fisheries management. And the basis for this committee is to ensure that the intent of the regulations, which are written by fisheries management, are clear but also are enforceable. And this committee has already met on two occasions. John Bull, public relations officer, is the coordinator of the Committee for Habitat Law Enforcement and Fisheries Management. And there have been two very extensive sessions, and in the last session, the outcropping of that is these last two items that we're requesting for public hearing and which I'll go over towards the end of the presentation. So I think with that amount of background, I'll move forward. This is just to give you an idea of the harvest trend very quickly. And as I mentioned, in 2008, there were management measures to lower the female harvest. Bay-wide, that target was achieved. In Virginia, our reduction that we figured out afterwards in 2009 was about a 32.4% reduction, but bay-wide, all three jurisdictions, it was a 34% reduction. And all jurisdictions have held fast to the essentials of that 2008 plan. Some of the benefits are there was a 35% increase in the pounds and the value compared to 2008 and 2009. Again, in 2010, there's been about a 14% increase. So the whole idea behind the commission's actions and the other jurisdictions were, As you'll see in a little while, there was an 11-year trough in abundance where there was overfishing and there were problems with the stock, and the concerted effort by the jurisdictions was to enact management that would allow this abundance, the stock, to refurbish itself to the point where when you have more abundance, you'll have greater harvest. I would mention in 2010, the Bay Wide harvest was close to 90 million pounds, so it was a big jump overall. The winter dredge fishery is a 100-year-old fishery, minimal, at least 100 years, probably before 1900. Part of the situation with the winter dredge fishery is that it's only been in recent years that a lot of the information about that fishery has come to the commission's attention and even staff's attention. And one thing about the winter dredge fishery is there is an overwintering stock that's in the lower bay. Most of those crabs have not spawned yet, female crabs. The winter dredge fishery takes 95% female crabs. It's been recorded that way since Van Engel from VIMS back in the 60s did studies. Those studies have also been done by VMRC as far as the percentage of female crabs. What occurred in the past was with just a limited amount of vessels, 70 or fewer vessels, and even in the early 90s there were as many as 300 vessels, but with 70 or fewer vessels, the depletion of the spawning stock did occur. There have been studies in the past, and one was by Schaffner and Diaz in 1986, and they list the crab dredge as being very efficient in terms of catch per unit effort because it works back and forth over the same areas. The problem with this is that as you're going back and forth, you're also cutting a lot of crabs. There's quite a bit of waste in the fishery. I'm not sure that anyone can quantify it accurately. About 20 years ago, staff did go on vessels and did find that the waste or the cut crabs, damaged crabs on board could be as high as 24%, and that was just what was on board, let alone what's left on the bottom. So the issue of waste is something that came out freely in 2008. Industry members commented to the commissioner, to staff. Situations were mentioned from reputable sources such that on a day's catch, about a third might be marketable. Now, that might be, an outlier. It probably isn't always like that, but certainly those are the situations that the commission was faced with 2008. In our management plan in 2008, the winter dredge fishery closure plays a significant part of that. It was about 13%. So out of 34%, the winter dredge fishery was 13%. And as I mentioned earlier, the commission has strived over the last few years to enact a conservationally neutral plan to 2008. So you can imagine that the Crab Management Advisory Committee, which earlier this year pretty much unanimously called for a reinstatement of the winter crab dredge fishery, that if that were to occur, there would have to be a lot of give in other areas to balance what is more than a third of the reduction in female harvest. So you see the statistics here. The crab dredge fishery averaged 12% during the baseline period of 2004-2007. 2004 to 2007, the average harvest, the average participation, that was what was really used in 2008 and still by staff when it presents information. It was used for the waiting list as well. So it accounts for roughly 13% of the Chesapeake area harvest of female crabs. And again, there are other crabs, as pointed out to us, that will spawn, but you have an aggregation right there overwintering that definitely are destined to spawn either in the spring or in the late summer. One thing that has occurred, the commission, along with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources in 2008, was able to put a plan in effect to the National Marine Fisheries Service for disaster relief. And the commission was allocated $15 million in that plan. And there were six main areas that were looked at, including putting crabbers to work in the oyster fishery, helping with the stock assessment. And one of the major ones was a buyback program, which was $6.7 million of the $15 million. The second major one was to enable crab dredge fishermen who had been crab dredging, had been active back in the two seasons that started in 2005 and ended in 2007, to use side scan technology to locate derelict pots, ghost pots, if you will, and marine debris and get that hauled out of the water. So that's occurred for 3 years already with those crab dredge fishermen. In addition, there will be funding for a fourth year coming up, starting, I guess, mid-December. It will not be as extensive as the last 3 years. The last I heard, and Jack may have a correction, was that it will fund about 22 days of work. So there have been efforts by the commission to ensure that those crab dredge fishermen were in a situation where they were gainfully employed and they were also promoting habitat improvement. In addition, when you look at the situation of the crab dredge fishery, by 2008, before the crab dredge fishery was closed, the commission enacted a limited entry where, through the requirements that were established, 53 crab dredge fishermen could have had a license had not the commission closed the fishery for that first season, starting in 2008-2009. Of those 53, 13 would still be on the waiting list that I mentioned earlier. They would not be able to crab at all, except they were allowed, by virtue of having that crab dredge history, to hold a crab pot license and fish that crab pot license or a peeler pot license, rather than just be on the waiting list. This is something that will be detailed a little bit more next month by Dr. Ron Lipschitz of VIMS. This is his work, and he's going to update this with the information from the winter of 2010 to 2011. But I thought it would be worth showing you today some of this information. Other commission members have seen this before, but the new members might see what's occurring here. This is 2005. The scheme is that as you get towards the oranges or the reds, those are denser patches of crabs. If it were bright red like down here, that's greater than 100 crabs per tow or per drag of the dredge when they're doing the dredge study. So this is all from the winter dredge survey. And just not to get it confused, there's a Bay-wide winter dredge survey, which is fishery independent, conducted by scientists, and then there's the winter dredge fishery, which involves commercial fishermen. So you can see what happens from November through December. There are pockets of crabs. There are clusters of crabs that can be very dense. By the time you get to February in 2005, you really don't see that anymore. In 2008, you see pretty much the same thing. And note that these stations are sampled each month. It may not be exactly the same location, but it's going to be pretty close. But again, you see some densities of crabs along here that start to fall out in January, even in 2008, which was a very low point overall for abundance. And by February, they're not there. If you look at 2008 through 2010, this is looking at what I called earlier the age 1-plus crabs or harvestable-sized crabs. They will be harvested within that year, one of these 3 years. And again, there's a key down here, greater than 100 when they're doing their tows, up to the dark blue is really no crabs whatsoever. So what you see in 2008 is a very small concentration of crabs. The dredge fishery was in operation at the same time the Baywide Independent Winter Dredge Survey was going in 2007, 2008. And these years refer to the latter part of the Baywide Winter Dredge Survey. So 2008 means from January to March of 2008, but it includes December of 2007. By 2009, there is no winter dredge fishery, and you can see that there is an abundance of crabs, and in 2010, you can see an even more dense abundance. And you'll see in a figure in just a second that it's no surprise in 2010, it was our most abundant year since about 1993 for crabs. This is not the harvestable fraction, or I should say at least to the late summer or fall, they won't be harvestable. They're called age zero. They're very small crabs during the independent Baywide Dredge Survey, and they are less than 2.4 inches down to about less than a half an inch, what the gear can extract. You see in 2009, there were some small crabs, new production, these high points here. You see in 2010, there was quite a bit up in the tributaries. And again, this is important because those crabs not only seed the fisheries late in the summer, early in the fall, what is not harvested also seeds the next spawning stock. So I'm going to start to move through this a little bit more quickly, but I think the point here is it is extremely difficult to manage blue crabs. And this 22-year record tells you how difficult it is. In the blue shaded areas, those are areas where you had the following conditions. You had a lot of crabs of all sizes, you had a lot of small crabs, and you had a lot of spawning age crabs in all three cases. The last time was 2010, and in 2011, there was winter kill, especially in Maryland. The problem in 2011 is that there was a falling off, especially of the young crabs, so there are less crabs you can expect in the harvest by fall of this year, 2011. Still, much better than the problem years here. The only other thing I want to introduce you to is there's a percentage of crabs removed. That's very important because right now there are current targets and limits as to where you should be. If you're managing, you would like the crab stock not to be in a situation where overfishing has occurred. Overfishing is greater than 53%, and if you start in 2007 and go back, you can see many years of overfishing. The target where you would like to be, where management would like the crab stock to have an exploitation rate or removal rate is 46%, and you can see the last 2 years here are actually under target. The question anyone should ask is, what is management doing here? You know, why could there be so many successive overages of fishing? And the reason is because the science has had a catch-up process. By 2006, it was finally settled on how these exploitation rates could be configured so that you could manage. Prior to that, and even in earlier 2007, when the commission held a regulatory review committee for scientists from South Carolina to Maryland that convened here, it still wasn't finally settled. But by 2007, it finally did get settled, and everyone realized, you know what, there was a lot of overfishing going on. So it's the science that had to catch up. The commission has been enacting regulations for blue crab conservation on almost an annual basis since 1994. But most of those have been for the spawning stock, and in a lot of cases, they certainly weren't as effective as the 2008 measures. This just shows you the overall number of crabs in millions, 460 million. You can see that it's about average over the 22 years of the independent survey. You can see that certainly it was much higher the year before, but nonetheless, you can also see the problem area down here where abundance was very poor, harvests were very poor, and that tracks. the small crabs or the age zero crabs did fall off from the survey average here, similar to these other years. That's going to be a concern. It's environmental, environmentally driven. You know, there is advection of crab larvae out into the ocean, many miles out into the ocean. They're out there for several weeks. They're finally entrained into the bay. So there's a lot of environmental influences on the age zero crabs. This shows you the 254 million age one plus crabs. And it also shows you that for 3 years, these last 3 years, it's been above the 200 million, which I mentioned earlier is currently in regulation as a situation where if it were to be 3 years in a row, the commission would start a plan to allow licensees who haven't crabbed since 2003 at the earliest, many haven't crabbed since 2000, been in the crab fishery, to be reinstated according to the plan. The new event is that August the 9th, there will be the stock assessment published. The stock assessment is an analytical approach. It uses models and mathematics. And the main emphasis of the stock assessment, or at least one of the main charges of the stock assessment, is to come up with what I referred to earlier as limits or thresholds or biological reference points. How much stock should there be in terms of numbers before it's an unsafe condition? That's a biological reference point. How hard should fishing occur or be allowed to occur at what rate until it's unsafe because you're overfishing? So this is what has been occurring since 2007. 53% of crabs, if you had 54% removed, a removal rate, you're overfishing. 86 million age one crabs is the abundance. And next month, staff will show you the control rules so you can tie this together adequately. So 86 million, which isn't a lot. We've never been as low as 86 million except one time, and that was 1998-1999. So it's a empirical basis. It's not a mathematical basis. The new stock assessment is going to propose that the overfishing is not 53% of all crabs, but 34% of all female crabs of all sizes. And the proposed control rule will include an overfish definition, which will be 70 million age one plus females, as opposed to looking at 200 million age one crabs as an interim target. The new target that's proposed, and that should just say target, is 215 million age one plus female crabs. So very quickly, you should see that 200 of males and females compared to 215 million just females, it's more rigorous, it's more conservative with these new reference points. It's a harder challenge for management. And that's shown right here. So the 3 years that we just had for male and female, which are in the blue, the existing interim target of 200 million crabs, both sexes, it's been above that. The abundance level has been above that. Once the proposed rule is published and endorsed throughout the Bay community, it will be this red dashed line, 215 million, and you can see with a female-only target, it hasn't occurred yet. It almost occurred in 2010 with the abundance there. So the events are going to be different in terms of management, and conservation is going to be more rigorous. I'd like to switch to the waiting list and just give you a quick background. The waiting list started out with 867 individuals. These are 867 individuals who did not harvest a single pound of crab from 2004 to 2007. It had the endorsement of the Management Advisory Committee, staff, and the commission ultimately to place these individuals on a waiting list until the conditions were right for those individuals to pursue a license again. The commission spent from January through June of 2009 hearing appeals from individuals on the waiting list, and in addition, a lot of those appeals based on medical exceptions, data problems, were allowed by the commission. At the same time, there was a buyback that I mentioned earlier, the $6.7 million buyback, and that reduced the waiting list by 169 individuals. And I mentioned the winter dredge situation. So out of the 867, there are 326 individuals left on the waiting list. I would say out of the 326, more than half haven't harvested any crabs since about 2002, let alone 2004. This is what it would mean to just have the waiting list enter the fishery, roughly about 35,000 crab pots and 28,000 peeler pots. We have looked in the past at one time. It's difficult to measure the amount of pots because you have to assume that everyone fishes the maximum. But I know at times the total amount of pots, crab pots and peeler pots, have been estimated somewhere between 340 and 400,000 pots. So this is about a 10% addition easily. The peeler pot fishery is probably one that's more sensitive, even if you can imagine that, because it's a short-term fishery and entry into there could be even more problematic. This is an attempt from Dr. Kirkley, who did a great job to look at the capacity of the fishery. And what Dr. Kirkley did was he...
Rob, please tell me who Dr. Kirkley is, please.
Dr. James Kirkley is with the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, my problem. He is a world-renowned economist. He has worked in some pretty high-powered analyses of fleet capacity for the federal government. I think previous to being at VIMS, he was at Woods Hole. And so economics might be a lot harder than anything I've ever encountered. Let me just say that.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay. Yes, sir. All right. So Dr. Kirkley did an analysis, and we came back and we asked Dr. Kirkley, can you place the in the red line the number of actual active licenses? So from 1994 to 2010, the red line shows you how many active licenses were in the crab pot fishery. The green line is showing you how many licenses there should have been if the stock were to be at that 53% overfishing threshold. And the purple line shows you how many licenses should have been available in the fishery being active if the target, that 46% removal rate, was the objective. What you can see is there's very few instances, perhaps 1997 here and 2010, where you have convergence of the number of active licenses with the target, fishing right to the target. That means these areas here, all these years, you have excess capacity. You have too many licenses in the fishery to reach the target. And if you recall some of the last figures, you saw those areas where the abundance was also very low through these years. This line here, the light blue dashed line, is a further problem, because it's eligibility. So what that means is there were 1,234 eligible crab pot fishermen in 2010. Only 1,084 actually were active. So that means there were 160, whatever it is here, that didn't fish at all. And if they had fished, you could imagine that this convergence of fishing right at the target would have been easily exceeded. So that's the problem with having eligible licenses. This is latent effort in its own right. The peeler pot fishery is more emphatic because you have 2010, you do have a situation here, finally, and maybe back here in 1997 again, or 1996, it looks like, where you do have the proper amount of licenses for the amount of abundance out there because the target is being fished too. However, there's a lot of latent effort up here, a lot of eligible licenses that did not come into the fishery. If they did, then the convergence to the target goes away. And here it's even a lot more. You know, it's 181 licensees that for whatever reason did not fish pots in 2010. Added on to that is that most crab fishermen don't work a lot of days. Those who are active, you know, they might work 60 days or less. There's probably 50% of the crabbers are working that few for the crab pot. Peeler pot fishermen might be working 20 days or less, even though it's a concentrated fishery and, you know, 50% is in May. They don't work that many days. If they decide to work more, their neighbor decide to work more, that neighbor decide to work more, you're compounding a problem with effort that has been recognized since 1996 by the commission. This is some more information about the waiting list that the Crab Management Advisory Committee requested. What the Crab Management Advisory Committee said was, well, what do these individuals who are on the waiting list, what do they do the rest of the time? What other fisheries are they involved in? And you can see that the answer for the crab pot waiting list is very little. 114 individuals weren't doing anything of the plus 300 that are there now. You can also see in the peeler pot waiting list, it's not quite the same percentage who didn't do anything, but it's 47 who did very little. And really, even to get to 60 days or beyond 60 days, 26 individuals. The same thing with the poundage that's harvested. A lot of individuals, since they didn't work, they didn't harvest any pounds. Very few individuals are above, let's say, 10,000 pounds. 32 here, and here it's a little bit more, about 59. So especially the hard pot waiting list, there's not activity in 2008 or 2009 at all. This is something Jack asked us to look at, and earlier I mentioned there'd have to be a give and take. The Crab Manager Advisory Committee, there are two known crab dredgers on that committee. There is, I would guess, two buyers, but I'm not positive. And there's a lot of principle involved when they say that we want the crab dredge fishery reinstated, you know, point blank. The principle is that the commission has stopped the crab dredge fishery 3 consecutive years. Each year, according to Judge Doyle's ruling from a couple of years ago, the commission addresses this each year. So that's happened 3 times. It's proposed for a 4th time. A trade-off might be if you open 7 days in December with 45 crab dredge fishermen, which was that's the amount that was working in 2007 in December, it would mean that there's currently a closure to female harvested crabs from November 21st through November 30th. Originally, that was October 26th to November 30th. There's been a little bit of trade-off with you know, some of the regulations. If you were to say, how about a month of crab dredge fishing? Now you're looking at November 3rd. So the closure would be to the pot fishery, essentially. The peeler pot fishery is ending in October for all intents and purposes. So it's a crab pot fishery. So from November 3rd to November 30th, no female crabs. which is a productive time. It would involve, if you look here at some of the information, probably about 220 individuals who were crab potting in November of last year. And if you get back to October, because the dredge fishery is 13%, it's more than a third of all the reductions. But if you start winding this back to October, you're up into the 420, 430 individuals here in purple. So the fall is nothing in terms of effort like the summer months, as you can see. But nonetheless, it's a very productive time for those crab fishermen who don't switch out to other types of fisheries. And the other thing to mention here is the commission just a couple of years ago looked at the sanctuary area that used to be closed from June 1, and they closed it in 2009 everywhere starting May 1. Last year the commission was able to look again towards this year and opened it until May 15. So that's another area to look. Does the commission need to go backwards now and say that sanctuary is the trade-off? When we did the management plan, when staff provided the commission a management plan in 2008, involved changes in the coal rings, larger coal rings, 2 3/8, two coal rings, which was a very effective change. It involved a change in the peeler crab, raising the size limit, which is now commensurate with Maryland, in terms of being 3 1/4 until July 15th, and then it's 3 1/2 inches in July 16th, and it used to be 3 inches, period. And the other part was the sanctuary, the changes to the sanctuary, closing that earlier, and the other part is the dredge fishery. So there may even have to be new management tools if the commission stays with the conservation neutral plan. This is something that Jack asked again about, and what it shows is 2010, in the dark blue is the total abundance, number of crabs. Quite a lot of crabs here, a high point, unless you go back into the 90s, you know, when it was higher. And then also you have the harvest, which the harvest was very strong here in 2010. Matter of fact, it looks like the largest harvest since 1997. And if you recall earlier, that was one of those areas on the Dr. Kirkley graphs where the target was met by the number of active licenses. And you can also see in 1997 abundance was very high. If you look at the removals in this green line here, you can see in 2010, well under the threshold here, the safety zone, the danger point, however you want to look at it, and under target as well. So Jack's question was, in 2011, so this last graph is just bringing forward from 2010, we know the abundance dropped to 460 million crabs. So there's the total abundance in blue. If we have the same harvest that we had in 2010, what happens to our removal rate? Well, the answer is it's about 57%. It's well above the safe zone. It's even further above this target. And the only thing we know is that there was a large harvest last year, 89 million pounds in 2010. And early on, when the publication of this information came forward, we figured out roughly that the harvest has to fall to in the 60s, bay-wide, in order to stay on target. And now, I think you're finding out a little bit and more next month that the targets are more conservative. It looks to us, and we won't know until the 9th of August when it's published, but it looks so far that these removal rates, even though they're going to be in terms of female crabs only, that they're fairly similar to what we have here, but we won't know for sure until the 9th. What we definitely know is that that interim target, which was 200 million crabs, is much less conservative than this new 215 million crabs that we have now. So, you know, that's what we know to the extent today. I'd like to just mention another issue, which is the sanctuary issue, and it's merely a matter that we will next month bring the coordinates for the blue crab sanctuary, which had been missing from the markers and the buoys for about a year now, a little over a year. So, and that's been a great job by everyone involved, engineering and surveying and VIMS, to work through that and provide it back to fisheries management. So the staff recommendation is to allow us to advertise an August public hearing to decide the disposition of the individuals on the two waiting lists, the reinstatement of the latitude and longitude coordinates for the blue crab sanctuaries, the proposed closure of the winter dredge fishery for the four season, the proposed allowance of Maryland identification numbers on crab pot buoys and stakes, the revised requirements for crab culling, and new requirements for tending and fishing of crab and peeler pots. And I want to just briefly mention, if I could, get back here. There we go. These last two, these came out of the Commissioner's Regulatory Review Committee. What's involved with crab culling is law enforcement has noted that there's really not good culling ethics going on in terms of conservation of crab. That crab fishermen will go to, let's say, a string of pots, they'll harvest those pots, the crabs are there on board, they'll go to another string of pots, they'll harvest those crabs, and it's really not serving conservation. The other problem that law enforcement noticed is with these tubs, totes, whatever they're happened to have on that day, it's easy to sort of camouflage some of the smaller crabs if you have many of those on board. And those type of crabs can make it into a buyer. And if you think about what you saw in a graph earlier, with as many as 717 crab potters out on any one day in the bay, you can imagine that enforcement needs all the assistance it can get. So I think the culling, although it's something that's recent that we came about in the Regulatory Review Committee, I think it would be very important. We will have to work out the methods for how you do that. So we're going to have to take a little time to do that for next month. The tending and fishing of crab and peeler pots is also a conservation issue primarily because there are pots that are left unattended for weeks or a week or more than a week. I mean, that definitely occurs. For gillnets, we do have tending requirements. Matter of fact, if a gillnet that's not a staked device is left and observed by a marine police officer to have been left for 24 hours, there's a notification process. The marine police officer gets in touch with that person. If said net is not removed, then that net is subject to be removed by the marine police officer. What we're going to be asking for the crab fishery is probably 5 working days. So it's not meant to be punitive. It's meant to afford conservation. And with that, that's what I have, Commissioner.
Thank you, Rob. Questions? Mr. Plumlee's got his hand up, and then Mr. Robbins.
Rob, I was wondering, just going through all these issues, is there a reason that it needs to all have to be heard on the same at the same hearing? Are they tied together to such a degree you feel like they really need to be heard all together, or can they be unpacked and sort of addressed separately? I mean, some of these are, I think, far more impactful on the data that you presented than others. And I was just curious to know if there was a logic you had in trying to put all of these on at one occasion.
What happened is that typically these issues, some of these issues would have been heard in April, but because the stock assessment was going to be finished and then was delayed a little bit, we asked the commission to wait until August. So August is probably the end point for the dredge issue and the waiting list issue. And I know the Crab Management Advisory Committee definitely wants to hear those taken care of. The sanctuary issue, certainly the sanctuary goes out September 15th. That is something, based on what the commissioner would want to do, that could be delayed. The culling, we even talked about the culling issue and the notification process for tending your crab pots to make it effective January 1. So I think we wanted it to be on the radar of the commission, but those three could definitely, you know, staff would think could be set aside.
If I could, too, Rob, Mr. Plumley, a lot of times, just either through having been in the law enforcement division or been on this side of the fence, we get criticism or concerns that our rules and regulations tend to change from time to time, and keeping up with the regulations sometimes is problematic. So what we try to do, much like with the laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia and enacted when they can, is have everything come at a constant point, especially when it deals with one specific species, if it's at all possible. That gives two things. It gives the crabber the opportunity to come here and be heard on all the issues.
Without having to come back.
And also it allows staff, in making their calculations as to how each one of these specific pieces of measurement tool fit into the puzzle, to come up with the equation that they're looking for. So they're all interrelated for the most part, and that gives everybody a sense of expectation of knowing what's going to occur, when it occurs, and that's pretty much how it's
described. Well, that's really why I asked the question, because I'm trying to figure out, you know, from my perspective, I want to have the time to really digest a lot of the information that Rob is trying to provide us, hear from the various stakeholders in the circumstance. And when you put six issues together, four or five issues together with some complexity, you know, you're wondering, are you going to do a good job in trying to parse it all, particularly if, you know, I mean, I'm coming up to this issue for the first time.
Understood.
And so I want to make sure that I have the opportunity to understand the data that's passed through and process it. And, you know, obviously do the homework in advance, but, you know, I really want to be able to hear from the parties as well and all the positions they would have. So it just seems like a lot of issues to put at one hearing. And
They will be here to allow you to hear them.
Right. Well, along with everybody else on the agenda that day. So yeah. I just want to make sure that we have the chance to weigh all of that.
Right. Other question, Mr. Robbins, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rob, do you mind going back to Dr. Kirkley's slide from his capacity analysis? I just wanted to revisit that a little bit. Back when we first established the waiting list, I guess that was 2008, the original motion by which we proposed to do that included some language to the effect that there would be an analysis done to ensure that the reentry of these individuals didn't cause some sort of adverse impact on the stock. And we subsequently had to re-advertise, if you recall, and come back and revisit that question. And so when we did that, I think what we settled on was that the re-entry would be subject to the commission developing a limited entry program, I guess, specific to that. So as I look at this, we've got 1,234 potential licenses, and that's people that are eligible to buy one now. So there's a gap between that and the active pool of 100 and some, and that's people that aren't buying their license at all, even though they're eligible. They're not on the waiting list. And so if we were to then add back 193 or whatever off the waiting list, given the fact that we have a convergence now between the target and the active pool, it seems to me that that would result in, we would have to anticipate some additional fishing mortality to come from that 193 potential active licenses. And so would we not, if we're in a position where we have to maintain conservation neutrality in our management plan, would we not going forward have to make some sort of compensation within our management plan to account for that mortality and impact the active fleet, active crab fleet?
Well, we'd have to do something because there's only, with the choices that we have now, I think we've done what we can do with the coal ring. The peeler size limit, that's probably, although there's a request from Mr. Farrington in his letter to raise that, you know, that would be a long drawn out process, I think. So whether it would be a day's worked criteria for active crabbers, whether you would have to set up a schedule based on their 2010 performance, and then you're keeping in mind, I mean, the really hard part of what you're asking is that we know the abundance has dropped in 2011. And so anything you see that, you know, for example, if this is 2011, you're looking at clearly 1,084 is not going to be the right amount of licenses for 2011 if they all do exactly what they did in 2010. So, you know, that's a problem there.
Well,
there are some difficulties.
Okay,
and if I can follow up, you know, this is a great analysis. I think one of the problems, though, that's not readily apparent is that if we have 1,084 active licenses and that number in 2010 essentially caught the target, that's very encouraging relative to where we were in the past. By the same token, though, that pool of active licenses doesn't represent fully utilized licenses. In other words, there are about 200 or more, maybe 225, that are active on a full-time basis. Then there are 800 that are active on a part-time basis to varying degrees. And we don't have any management tools in the plan today to effectively tier or manage the level of activity for those licenses. And so there's a lot of uncertainty that introduces into the overall management of the resource. In other words, active licenses that are active at a very low level or eligible can be activated through transfer and fully utilized potentially. So that's sort of another layer of complexity to this that, you know, I think given the fact that this really is a long-term question, I mean, this is not the sort of thing you want to be amending year to year. Given the fact that this is a long-term question, I would submit that the committee perhaps could have more of a dialogue about really the broader questions underlying that. In other words, what do we anticipate is the right number of licenses in the long run? Perhaps that could be reviewed every 3 to 5 years as our understanding of the stock dynamics change. I mean, we had this benchmark assessment now that's given us new reference points. We had originally tied this to the interim reference point issue. But I would think that this is an issue that, you know, while we may take some action on it next month, I think does need a longer-term dialogue to get at the issue of transfers, capacity, agency, et cetera. And I think we'd do well to take that up in the committee and really try to hammer out more of a long-term solution to that number of licenses question.
I just would comment that staff has that information, and I think that's been shown to the Crab Management Advisory Committee, and that's one of the dilemmas on top of all this that I think Jack pointed out, was that 50% of the crab pot fishermen are fishing, you know, less than 80 days, and the peeler pot fishery is the same way. So it just, you know, it could magnify any problems for 2011. 2011 looks a little dangerous with just sort of a scenario that if for some reason the crabbers are able to find the patches of crabs successfully, as they tend to do, and the markets are good enough or better than maybe they have typically, you know, you can go over your threshold. You can have a removal rate that's pretty high. So that's a problem, and that puts everyone back scratching their heads wondering what do we do next, because you know, that's what would occur.
Mr. Robbins?
Just one more question, Rob. If based on the information you presented us with thus far, which is sort of a preliminary look at the new benchmark stock assessment, it sounds like the current level of exploitation is probably close to what the new target level of exploitation might be. If after we receive that information, though, we learn that there's any room for a little bit more exploitation, and we wanted to come back and consider adjustments to the length of the season, we wouldn't be able to do that next month, but I guess we'd have to consider that in committee and then come back to the commission and re-advertise for an action later in September.
Well, what I would rather think about is that these eligibles, they're there. So how many of them need to come in before they take up that little bit of room?
Okay.
It's going to be around a target. As I said earlier, from what we can see now, it seems even though it's a female target on all size crabs, the female overfishing target or removal rate or exploitation rate is on all size of female crabs. The overfished part of it, where you get beyond a safe level of numbers of crabs, and the 215 million female crabs, that target, this proposes a new target, that's all on the larger crabs, larger female crabs, the spawning age crabs. So, you know, from what we know, there's similarity with the overfishing biological reference points. You can already tell, based on that one figure that I showed, that whereas we had 3 years in a row, which were nicely above that interim target, now that there's a target, everything's below that target. And so all of the information should center on that. I mean, that's probably something that will be talked about quite a bit, I'm sure, next month.
All I know is it's taken us a while to get where we are now.
Yeah.
And caution is the key word. I realize that we're dealing with a resource that's a public trust. And, I mean, the numbers are getting very, very close in nature where it wouldn't take much to tip the scale the wrong way, and that's my concern. Further comments or questions? Mr. Tankard?
I have a question, and kind of following on what you've just said, and that is the Crab Management Advisory Committee. Have they, in fact, supported these measures that you propose for public hearing? I mean, have they taken a vote? And if they have they, in particular, said that they want to go back to dredging?
We will have a Crab Management Advisory Committee meeting on the 18th of August, and that will give everyone a chance to comment on everything. But they have commented, not voted so much, but they have pretty much endorsed having a crab dredge fishery. And what was thrown out was just December and part of January, or December and half of January. Well, if you look back at December and half of January, that's about 75% of the total harvest anyway.
Right.
Then it was 30 bushels, because the last time we left off, it was 51. Well, and it's in Mr. Farrington's letter, it's good to have these type of thoughts, but I think what we said all along was that once there's an indication that a crab dredge fishery should be something to plan for, then staff would spend time trying to do that. But right now, at least from staff, the idea is this is the proposed fourth consecutive season where there should be a closure. So the CMAQ isn't going to like that.
Follow-up question.
The CMAQ did talk about the waiting list. This goes back to, I want to say, February when we met. If it's April, let me know. But I think it was February. they did not want anyone on the waiting list to come into the fisheries. So those are the two big issues.
Follow up, Mr. Tiger.
So my follow up is, in some regard, and this may sound a bit crazy, but I mean, should we even, given the destructive nature of the crab dredge fishery and its effect on the crab population as a whole and the future crab population, should we even bother to advertise for something that seems, I think, ridiculous?
I think the court has basically spoken during its court order that we do have to consider that every year, and to not consider it on a yearly basis would be an error.
And so part of that consideration is the public hearing and
yes,
advertising
sir.
For that.
Yes, sir.
All right, fair enough.
Further comment, Mr. Plumlee?
With regards to the court opinion, is there a time deadline for consideration prior to season, anything along those lines?
The Code of Virginia refers to a season, and a season, I guess, would customarily be what the season would be for that, and it has been December through March. So. But once again, there's time to be involved with gearing up for the fishery, as well as making the equations necessary to ensure that the numbers are met as well. Mr. Robbins?
I just have one more follow-up, Mr. Chairman. I think we can look to the committee to provide informative input to the commission. Back when we went through the process in 2007, 2008, they did help us quite a bit, I think, to identify what were the most important priorities as we went through the process of reforming the management plan. And while they have commented as individuals about crab dredging, I would think that if we go through this discussion at the committee level, if people want to see additional sources of mortality, if we're operating in a context where we have to be conservation neutral, there would have to be, I think, some suggestions about what other modifications might be made. But we haven't had that discussion yet. That's set up for the 18th.
Further questions? The chair will entertain a motion on the necessity for a public hearing.
Moved for public hearing.
Motion made by Mr. Tankard, second by Mr. Lane. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries 8-1.
That was Mr. Plumlee?
That's correct.
Okay.